Okay? So 26. Again, we want to do the personality's continuity in Tanakh. What do we know about Yehuda? After Yehuda is integral in selling Yosef, what happens? Yosef is sold, and the Perek afterwards, what does it say? Pasuk Aleph, right? Perek Lamed Chet Pasuk Aleph. Vayehi ba'etahi vayered Yehuda me'etachav. Right after he sells Yosef and he's integral in it, what happens? He leaves his brothers. Similar to what we saw with Elimelech. There's trouble, Elimelech leaves. What happens? Rashi explains, he brings in the Midrash. All the brothers said, you're such a good leader. If you would have said, bring him back to Abba, we would have brought him back. You said to sell him, so what are we doing? We sold him. It's your fault. So how did Yehuda feel? He felt terrible. So he left the brothers. He went to live separately. Not only that, all the brothers, right, doesn't tell us who they married, right, except for Yosef, who married Bat Potiphera Kohen On. So what does the Midrash say? There are two choices. Either they married their sisters, there were twins born with each of the Shvatim, or, right, they married local girls and they converted them, right? But usually, where did you go when you wanted to get married, right? Usually we all go back to the family. Right? We find with Avraham, he marries his niece. We find with Yitzchak, right? He marries Rivka. We see Yaakov marries Rachel and Leah. Everyone goes back to the family to get married. When Yehuda leaves after he's integral in selling Yosef, where does he go? He leaves his brothers and he goes to an Isha Dulami. Right? And not only that, right? He gets married to a woman and then he marries his sons to this girl, Tamar. And the whole story that we have with Tamar. The point we want to make is this. When the time comes, right, and Yehuda, after Er dies, and after Onan dies, for those who know this entire issue, Yehuda is supposed to marry Tamar off to Shelah. But in the whole story, what doesn't it say? It never says that Yehuda tells his sons, this is not a nice thing, you weren't behaving nicely. Hashem kills both Er and Onan. And what don't we have? We never have Yehuda ever chastising his sons. So what do we see about Yehuda as well? He leaves the family, he gets married out of the family, right? He has two sons, he doesn't chastise them, he's not involved with them, right? He doesn't give Tamar to the third son, Shelah. And then we see how Tamar takes matters into her own hands. So what do we see? We see Yehuda leaving the family, becoming more removed from the family, and Yehuda is at the abyss. At this point, Yehuda can really be removed from the family and we'll never hear from him again. What brings Yehuda back? So, of course, Tamar, as you know, in all places in Tanakh, the women really always make that major change, right? It's Esther who turns things around. Chana is the one who makes sure Shmuel is going to come around. We know with Miriam, she makes sure that Moshe is going to be born. Sarah makes sure that Yitzchak is going to be chosen. Rivka makes sure Yaakov is going to be chosen. And here Tamar is going to make sure that Yehuda is going to have a zest for life. But everyone has to be pulled back from the abyss. In Tanakh, everybody is at a certain major crossroads in their life. And will they make the right decision, and that will make them a great person or not? Abraham has 10 nisyonot, but one of the first ones is the Kivshana Esh, and in the Pshat, the first one is he going to go to Eretz Canaan? Is he going to go to Dvar Hashem? Yes. Yitzchak and the Akedah, is he going to go through with it? Yes. Is Yaakov going to fight for the Bechorah or not? Yes, and that is what makes all the individuals in the Tanakh great individuals. So here with Yehuda, right, what is Yehuda going to do? When Tamar brings the symbols, she just says, whoever is the owner of these symbols, he is the father. And what could Yehuda say? They were stolen from me. I don't know who she is. Right, Yehuda is the one who said, when they said she's expecting, he says, take her out and burn her. And she says, don't answer so fast, right? What does she say? She says, whoever these things belong to, he is the father. And what happens? Pasuk Kavav. Let's look inside. We're number 26. Vayaker Yehuda. Right? She says, Hakerna, do you recognize these? What did the brothers say to Yaakov when they brought the coat of many colors for him to see that it had blood? Hakerna im ktonet bincha hi in lo. Do you recognize this coat of many colors with the blood? Yaakov comes to conclusions that Tarof Toraf Yosef, that Yosef was killed. Tamar is now saying, you know, then when you showed him the coat of many colors and that was the beginning of your downfall, you have a chance now to turn yourself around. Hakerna, do you recognize these three items? And what could Yehuda have said? No. someone stole them. It's not mine. I don't know who you are. I never saw you before. You might be my daughter-in-law, but, you know, I haven't seen you. You've gone back home. What does he say? Look at the psukim. Vayomer tzadkami meni. Ki al ken lo netati alashe labni. Tzadkami meni. She is correct, which means Yehuda is able to admit this great mistake. He is able to admit it, and he has two sons, and he tries to educate them, and he's involved with them. We have the idea of Peretz. One, you know, bursts forth to try to get out. And right afterwards, what do we see about Yehuda? Yehuda is the one who gets back to the family. He is the one who Yaakov sends Binyamin with down to Mitzrayim. And also, when it's time to come and approach Yosef, who is the brother who approaches Yosef? Parshat Vayigash is what? Vayigash? Elav Yehuda. So here we have Yehuda, who was so removed, who was almost at the abyss, separated from Am Yisrael, separated from Yaakov Avinu. Tamar really pulls him back, but how does she pull him back? By him admitting what he did wrong and coming back. So it doesn't mean in Tanakh if you make a mistake, you're finished. You have to do tshuva. You have to come back. What was Elimelech's problem? When he went down to Moab, when he stayed there, every chance, if you read the psukim, after each pasuk, what do you want to scream at Elimelech? Go back. Right? At each moment, they have a chance to go back. Elimelech, who was from Yehuda's family, had a chance to redeem himself. He had a chance to go back. He had a chance to make his life over again. Even though he made a mistake and he left Am Yisrael, he could change his destiny. Yehuda, who was instrumental in selling Yosef, he was able to build his way back, so much so that he became the leader of Am Yisrael. Lo yasur shevet miYehuda. Yehuda becomes the leader of Am Yisrael. He's a brother who the brothers listen to. So again, it's the idea of being able to do tshuva. Now I want to go back to Shaul, who we discussed earlier. When Shmuel comes to Shaul and he tells him he made a big sin, that you didn't destroy Amalek, what does Shaul say? The people influenced me. They wanted it. It's not my fault. Right? What is Shmuel giving him at every turn? A chance to say, I made a mistake. What is the greatness of Yehuda that Elimelech doesn't take? And that's why Elimelech is just mentioned in the beginning, and he lost the possibility. Because if Elimelech, right, with Ruth, who would have been the future Melech of Am Yisrael and king? Who would have been his ancestor? Elimelech. So Elimelech lost this opportunity of real malchut because of his lack of initiative, right, of being able to do tshuva. What do we know about Yehuda as opposed to Shaul? When he makes the, whatever chet it was with Bathsheba, or when he makes the chet of counting Am Yisrael, what is David able to do when the Navi comes to him? What is he able to admit? Chatati. David is able to do tshuva. He doesn't dilly-dally. He doesn't make excuses. David understands the idea of tshuva. What do we see? Just like Yehuda. Yehuda has the chance, he knows, of doing tshuva. He understands this concept, right? This is the legacy that we have with Yehuda, Shevet Yehuda. That's what makes them great leaders. Not that they don't make mistakes, but when they make a mistake, they know how to do tshuva. They know how to realize it. They know how to pull themselves back. And that's such an important lesson. We all make mistakes. We all do chataim. The point is to realize it's not the abyss. It's not the end. And even how deep we get, there is always a way to pull out. With Yehuda, he is really almost totally into the abyss. And he's able to pull himself back so much that he's able to become a great leader. Also, who are the two children born? Zerach and Peretz. Peretz sticks, right, his hand out first, and they tie a little ribbon on it so they know he is really the Bechor. What's interesting? Yehuda. Vayigash elav Yehuda. The idea of Yehuda is to go forward, right? We have this idea also with David. Again, Vayigash elav Yehuda. What language does it use when David HaMelech approaches Goliath? What language do we have when David HaMelech approaches Goliath? Look at number 22. Tanakh is just so wonderful. What's the language that's used when David goes and approaches Goliath? Vayigash haplishti hashkem v'arev v'yitzev arba'im yom. Ah, who's approaching here? Goliath. Okay, we're going to go back. Who did I just mention? David. Where did Goliath come into the picture? Okay, a great midrash. Again, you want to see how the midrash, again, is trying to pull themes in Tanakh. Let's go a little further. Goliath is approaching David. What do we know David goes towards Goliath? Look at 25. Who? Goliath approaches. He steps forward. Who steps opposite him? In number 25, which is Shmuel Aleph Perek Yitzayim. Right. Shaul is very upset. Goliath is coming and announcing every day for 40 days how he's going to destroy Am Yisrael. So what happens? David says, I'll take care of him. And what does he do? Pasuk Mem. We're in number 25, Shmuel Al, Perek Zion. Vayikach maklo biyado, right? David takes his little stick. He picks five stones, right, from the nachal, from the little stream. He puts it in his little tik, right, his little knapsack that he uses as a shepherd. And he puts it in his hand. Vayigash el haplishti. Vayigash el haYehuda. This idea of stepping forward is something that David has as a schut, right? He's going in Yehuda's footsteps. But wait a minute. Where did Goliath come into this? Where does Goliath have this kind of audacity to step up as well? So the Midrash makes a fascinating connection. Who does Moab come from? Moab comes from Lot, right? Moab is a melech during the time of the Shoftim. Megillat Rut, during the time of the Shoftim. Also, we have a melech Eglon during the time of the Shoftim. Look at number 20. Shoftim Perek Gimel Pasuk Kaf. Ehud, he is one of the judges. He comes, he's a lefty, right? So what Shevet is he from? Right, Shevet Binyamin, they're all lefties. He comes with his lefty sword. It's a double-edged sword, literally. That's where we get the phrase from. He comes to see Eglon and he says, I have to give you Dvar Hashem. I want to speak God's word to you. And what does Eglon do, who's the king of Moab? Remember, all these different family connections are very important. What does he do? He gets up, right? Vayakam me'alakisei. Eglon melech Moab, right? Orpan would come from Moab, right? Eglon gets up. When he hears, I have to say something from Hashem. So, the Midrash says something fascinating. The Midrash says, because he got up with kavod for Hashem, what happens? Look in number 21, that's Rashi, who brings in this Midrash. Dvar Elokim li elecha, when Ehud says to him, I want to tell you Dvar Hashem, what does he do? Vayakam me'alakisei. He gets up from his throne. Lechach zacha v'yatzah mimenu Rut. According to Midrash, Rut and Orpah are sisters. They are the daughters of Eglon Melech Moab. They're from the king of Moab, right? So we have these sons who are marrying these very important girls. According to the Midrash, right, go another pasuk, number 22. Sorry, number 24. What is this? Shmuel Bet Perekaf Aleph Pasukaf Bet. According to the Midrash, it says, Et arba'at ela yaldu leharafe begat. When it talks about Goliath and these four giants, it says they were born to harafe. So the Midrash makes a connection between harafe and whose name? Orpah. So Orpah is the mother of Goliath. Rut, we know, is going to be the mother, right, of David, and they are going to have this colossal showdown. Why is Orpah going to have some zchut that Goliath can step forward? Because what did she do? She went part of the way with Naomi. So she gets a zchut for going a few steps with Naomi. Look at the Radak. Radak brings it in number 23, the last line and a half. Ubadrash, achar arba'im psiot. Orpah went 40 steps with Naomi, so that's why Goliath is able to go 40 steps or stand for 40 days to bother Am Yisrael. Lot had a schut that he went part of the way with Abraham, and that's why Orpah had some schut as well. Do you see how the Midrash is connecting all of these? And therefore, because she went the 40 steps, also Goliath had some schut. So what else do we see in Tanakh? Also with Esav. Because Esav had some schuyot, he did kibbutz av. According to Midrash, he has some zechuyot. I mean, the other nations have some zechuyot. But in the long run, what's going to overcome them? B'nai Israel. But what's fascinating here is that the showdown between Goliath, which is Orpah, and Rut, which is David, right, is going to come to a head. But who is going to step forward? It's going to be David, which means David, the legacy of Am Yisrael, the legacy of stepping forward, the legacy of, even though you have Chataim, even though he was the smallest of all the brothers, of stepping forward, of making something of yourself. Also, we see that with Naomi. Naomi wants to go back to Eretz Yisrael pretty much to die. And yet, she lets Ruth go out and pick in the fields. What does Ruth do? Ruth realizes that she has to harness her energy. She's not just going part of the way and turning back. When she makes a commitment, it's a full commitment. And when she goes all the way. So now let's go back to our Megillat Ruth to end the idea. We're going back to Megillat Ruth, and we are going to go to, let me just see what your Xeroxes are. 1 second. We are going to go to Ruth Perek Bet, just to finish up. In Ruth Perek Bet, we see that Boaz is very impressed with Ruth, right? She meets him in the field, and the truth is that Ruth wants to go out. Naomi says, do whatever you want, and Ruth has the plan to really do something, right, and to try to get some food and to build them up, right? If Naomi really wanted, she could have asked her friends to invite her, right? But Naomi just wants to come and finish up her life. What does Ruth realize? She made a commitment to Am Yisrael, but she wants to have a future. And what we see here also is that tenacity of Benot Lot in general. What do we know about Benot Lot after all of Zom was destroyed? What did they want? They wanted a future, and they went to drastic measures to have a future. So we see this about Ruth and her ancestry, that they want to have a future, and they are really single-minded about it. So to finish up the picture, we see this idea that Ruth goes checking in the field. Boaz is very taken with her. So Boaz tells her, go hang out with the boys, and you'll probably find yourself a husband. If you look at the psukim carefully, when she tells back to what the story to Naomi, and Naomi repeats it, look at Pasuk Kaf Aleph. Ruth Perek Bet, Pasuk Kaf Aleph. We're all the way on bottom. Vatomer Ruth Amoviah, Gam Ki Amar Alai Im HaNe'arim Asher Litid Baking. Hang out with the boys. You'll find a nice shidduch there. Right? Boaz is not thinking of himself. But Ruth, right, she stayed the whole time with the girls. And what does Naomi tell her also? Pasuk Kaf Bet. Vatomer Naomi El Ruth Kalata Tov Viti Ki Teitzi'im Na'arotav V'lo Yisgu'ubach V'sadeh Acher. What is Naomi telling her? Don't stick with the boys, stick with the girls, which means this here is the pasuk of transformation. Till now, Naomi just says, do whatever you want. She came back with food. Naomi doesn't really take an initiative. After coming back to Eretz Yisrael, she doesn't take initiative because she just wanted to end her life. That's it. Everyone's upset with her, and that's it. Now, she is already thinking about the future of Ruth. So much so that in Perek Bet, Ruth's doing everything, collecting in the fields, and Boaz impressed. Here already in the end of Perek Bet, what do we see? Naomi is already realizing and thinking a little about future. Who is Ruth going to marry? And now what do we see? Look at the next Perek. It's Perek Gimel. I forgot to write it on top. By Perek Gimel, what is Naomi doing? Naomi is giving advice to Ruth how to go into the Goren, into the barn, in order to meet Boaz, which means who's giving all the information and all the instructions already in Perek Gimel? Naomi. So Naomi, and if you look at the Kri and the Chtiv, everything she's saying is me. I am going to find him, right? The Kri and the Chtiv are really different here, which is fascinating. But what happens? She meets Boaz, and what does she say? The whole time when he meets her in the field and the other Perek, he says, Hashem should watch over you. But what does she say? I want to find favor in your eyes, which means what is Ruth saying? You have to do the redeeming. What is Boaz saying? Hashem will take care of it. When she comes into the Goren, what does he ask her? Miat, who are you? Of course he knows who she is, right? He's met her in the field almost every day. What does she say? Anochi Ruth amatecha ufarasta knafecha al amatecha ki goelta. You are the one who has to redeem me. So we see also Ruth realizing that she also has to motivate Boaz in order to do the right thing. So again, we see throughout Tanakh how the women also play this very important role of being a very good influence and making sure, right, that things are moving in the right direction. So here we see Ruth wants to make sure Boaz is going to take his responsibility. Boaz takes responsibility, and look how she's given a bracha. First of all, if you look in Perek Daled, Ruth is given the bracha like Rachel and Leah. So number one, this is in Pasuk Yud Aleph. She is compared to Rachel and Leah. What do we know about Rachel and Leah? They were the wives of Yaakov. They are the father of Shvatim. So we're accepting Ruth like the mothers of the Shvatim. Number two, who are we mentioning? Pasuk Yud Bet. We are mentioning Peretz, who was born to Tamar. So what else are we saying about Ruth? What do we know about Tamar? She took her future into her own hands. What do we know about Ruth? She took her future into her own hands. But we see also something else. As a result, Ruth was able to build a future. She was able to give life to Naomi in the sense that Naomi now has a future. Her two sons died. She would not have a future. Ruth, right, has a child that she really hands over, in a sense, to Naomi, and Naomi has a future as a result. Number two, we see that Ruth has redeemed her whole family history, in a sense, of Lot, who left Abraham and is now really coming back. We see another thing that is happening here. We see also the idea of Yehuda, which is the idea that Boaz really steps in and takes the responsibility that Elimelech didn't have, and we all know that they're relatives, right? That's why Elimelech, right, who died, his field has to be redeemed by one of the close relatives. So we know Elimelech, right, is very related to Boaz. So we see the family responsibility. We see because Boaz took this responsibility and really had this idea for future and continuity, we see that he had this chut of really being one of the ancestors of David. And furthermore, we see about Ruth. Whereas many times you say, right, Am Yisrael, what is its attitude towards Gerim? Right? But we see that the attitude towards Gerim is that once they are totally connected to Am Yisrael accepts them full-fledged as members of Am Yisrael and can reach great heights. So Ruth is really the Em Malchut. She is really the mother of royalty. So we have this idea of Tamar, who also came from the outside, but was totally committed to Am Yisrael. And here as well, we have the idea of Ruth, who was totally committed and came and was responsible for Am Yisrael. So just to sum up, we are really the sum of our parts, right? The past, the traditions, nature and nurture. We also have the free choice and are invested with a certain destiny which shapes us. What our family is, who our parents are, what our history is, right? We all relate and react to where we come from. But on the other hand, we also have choices to make. And sometimes we see ourselves as continuity in the family. Sometimes we see ourselves that we have the job to do tikkunim for certain things and redeem certain things that happen in the family. Many times we see our roles as looking back and learning lessons, right? And then appreciating things that our parents or grandparents went through that way when we were younger, we didn't really appreciate those issues, that we didn't realize how we're really part of a bigger whole. So when we see in Tanakh also another very important lesson, that everyone really has that ability to pull themselves back and to really do great things and to try to be the best that they could be. And the story here that we saw with this idea of redemption and this idea of continuing legacies, even though there are continuing themes, there's also the idea of your choices that you make that really change the future and can really change the future not only of yourself, but of all Am Yisrael. So hopefully we'll be able to continue with this idea of personal contribution and also the contribution of Maaseh Avot Siman Labanim. Thank you.
Before I formally thank Professor Rosenzweig, we can take a couple minutes if there are any questions. And if not, now I'm sure. Okay, yeah.
I think the fascinating example of Orpah and Ruth is really good because they're both in the same family, they both have the same background, and one decides, you know, to continue this family, to, you know, go a little and then you turn back. And yet Ruth, who's from the exact same family, exact same tradition, she goes forward. So we see two people in the exact same situation, similar backgrounds, who choose totally differently. I brought the Elimelech and David situation, you know, / Yehuda again, meaning Elimelech, right, what should he have done? He should have at every point realized he made a terrible mistake and pulled back and come back to Eretz Yisrael or taken his position as a leader, right? He has the lineage, he has the background, he has the family history, but he doesn't take that choice. Whereas Yehuda, right, does, and in a sense, David, who's the youngest, and at every point when you have Goliath and you have all these big challenges, he could just turn back. Well, we did this terrible thing with Bathsheba. It could have been his downfall when he counted Am Yisrael. All those situations really could have been terrible downfalls, and we do see other examples in Shevet Yehuda where they don't take, you know, the parrot's role, which is to really step forward. So in Tanakh we have all different, I think that's the whole message. Just like Yaakov and Esav, Esav's in a great position. He could do great things. but he doesn't take that responsibility. All the Sefer Bereshit is about choices, meaning brothers always in a similar situation where one goes one route and one does the other. So even though we don't know why, we don't know how Hashem runs the world, we don't know, you know, why we make certain choices, but on the other hand, we know we have the concept of free will, and with everything that, you know, shapes our environment, we still have that ability to really, you know, make certain choices and, you know, turn our lives in a certain direction, even with Hashem, you know, running everything. And that's the big dichotomy and dialectic of life. So I don't know the answer, but in Tanakh, definitely you see both sides. Not that everything is predestined at all. Right, it's both aspects. And the Midrash really analyzes this idea very well. The question is it that the characters really look back all the time and analyze and say, oh, David did this, Yehuda did this, I'm going to go in those footsteps? Or is it just from the idea of being in Shevet Yehuda, or is the idea of being in Shevet Yehuda? That is really very difficult to know. Meaning, you know, is it conscious, or is it, you know, something from just being in that chair? And the Midrashim really discuss it in many different ways. Meaning sometimes they say, you know, she said, this is what my grandmother did, so she's going to do this, right? Or Rachel is upset with Yaakov that he's not davening. She thinks he's not davening for her. Look what Avraham did, or look what Yitzchak did when Rivka didn't have children. They davened together. So sometimes the Midrash makes it very conscious that, you know, these are conscious things that the individual is doing. And other times they just say, you know, is it that they chose this derech because of their ancestors and it's conscious? Or is it, you know, this is just the way of Shevet Yehuda, or the way of the unit. So that's very difficult even today in our life. You know, is, you know, what is it? Is the environment? Is it conscious decisions? Is it, you know, certain inborn genetic traits, you know, that we have that our DNA really, you know, you see little kids who have different personalities? Very interesting question. I don't know. Thank you.
Okay, on behalf of my family, I'd like to thank Professor Rosenzweig for both her inspiring and illuminating words, which is really a great schut, great merit for my mother's neshama, aleha shalom. Give us a lot of food for thought during these very significant times for Am Yisrael, both in terms of it being the 9 days, things we have to remember, why we don't have a Beit HaMikdash some 2,000 years later, and also in terms of what's going on right now in Eretz Yisrael, the difficult situation that we should all feel, that all Jews should feel for right now. So I want to thank Professor Rosenzweig again. How old is your oldest daughter?
My daughter or child?
Your oldest daughter. Okay, so in a few years, we have, you know, her mother, Professor Rosenzweig, so maybe we'll have her daughter in a few years speak as well. So the refreshment's outside. We'll dab in Marav here in about 5 minutes, let's say at 9:35. So again, thank you again for all coming. And there's a Beit Midrash learning session beginning at 10:30. 9:30, sorry, here for all women are invited to hear more words of wisdom from Professor Rosenzweig. Thank you.